بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. There are a couple of questions here. One says that you mentioned that isolation. Not, I didn't say isolationism, as the questioner writes, but isolation has benefits. But how do you know the limits of this isolation? In other words, how do you balance between being isolated with social responsibilities? Okay, the isolation that is being referred to is for limited times according to one's capabilities. It might be while you're driving in your car. This could be a little khalwa, that during this half an hour or 45 minutes to visit a relative or go to work, that you use that time for dhikr or listening to Quran, or just being alone, turn the radio off and take the time to think. Or it might be in the privacy of your own home. Everyone should have a musalla in their homes, a masjid. We're encouraged to do this as Muslims. So once a day you take an hour or two and you reflect and you read some Quran, read some Islamic literature. Or it might be periodically every few months for an entire day that you have an isolated spot that you can go to get away from it all, to reflect, to think about Allah, to think about the higher things in life. So we're not necessarily talking about total withdrawal. This is discouraged in Islam. Islam discourages asceticism. We're not encouraged to just leave everything. And we always have to be mindful of our social responsibilities. And we have to be mindful of the situation Allah Ta'ala puts us in. And we have to be mindful of the fact that Allah, even though isolation, we mentioned some of the benefits, these are general. In specific cases, one might advance more spiritually in a situation where one is performing the ordinary duties because one is helping people. So and helping Muslims and doing things to benefit the Muslims. And as a reward for that, Allah Ta'ala opens up for them a realm of spiritual elevation that they might not have gotten if they stayed isolated in a cave somewhere. And there are many examples of this. And this is called taslim. Submitting oneself to what Allah Ta'ala has placed a person in. And sometimes, and to isolate oneself totally and absolutely, this is called tajreed, or divesting, stripping off the world. And many times people find in taslim what they were looking for in tajreed. So they find in their being content with what Allah has placed them in, they find what they're looking for by leaving it all. Another questioner says, how can you learn Arabic and give pointers as to who to go to if you wish to learn Arabic? The best way, if you're here in the West, is to go to a good, if there's one in your area, university program, and just do the program. Because they're training Orientalists to read books in two, three years. So if you go and you're serious and roll up your sleeves and get to work, and at the same time do something with Muslims in your area, read your Quran and try to build your Quranic vocabulary, all these things come together at a certain point in time. But the basis of that, I think in this situation, say if you're here in Chicago, go to the University of Chicago and take Arabic courses. Because what happens, many people when they try to do it in the masjid, they sometimes don't take it seriously. One reason is that you're not paying $2,000 to go there. So when you make that kind of investment, it tends to motivate you to get your money's worth, to go to class and to do the work. Another reason is that the element of competition is oftentimes lacking in the masjid. And this is a very real fact, especially for Westerners. So,
I'm trying to give you a note.
Okay. So, anyway, I think that's the best way to do it. Go to a Western university, and at the same time, work with some Muslims or Islamic sources. How do you know when a trial or tribulation is Allah testing one that He loves, or that the trial is a punishment or sin? If you're not making istighfar for your sins, then it might be a punishment. But if you're making istighfar, you should have husn al-dhan billah, that have the entertain a good opinion of Allah, that as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, that He was not going to punish the Quraysh as long as they were making repentance. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ وَهُمْ مُسْتَغْفِرُونَ. That Allah was not going to punish them as long as they were making repentance. So, entertain, repent from your mistakes, and know that Allah Ta'ala accepts repentance until a person is on the verge of death, and his death is imminent and certain, or until the sun rises from the west. So just keep making istighfar and have a good hope concerning Allah. No. What did you mean about Orientals not believing in anything? This is a mistake. If this is a brother or sister Muslim from China or somewhere, please, as an Orientalist, these are Western scholars who study Islam. So I said many of them do not believe in anything. And certainly most of them don't believe in Islam. Not Orientals, Orientalists. So there's a difference between the two. How much abuse should you put up with from Muslims, brother to brother, sister to sister? As long as it doesn't affect your deen, you should try to forbear and expect a reward from Allah Ta'ala for your forbearance. But when it starts to affect your religion, it's time to put an end to the abuse. So I think that's a good dhabit, or a good standard of measure. So inshallah we'll resume with the text. So Imam Muhasibi says, may Allah have mercy on him and on all of us, and benefit us through him and through each other. We'll go to the beginning of the last paragraph. He says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْعَاقِلَ لَمَّا صَحَّ عِلْمُهُ وَثَبَتَ يَقِينُهُ عَلِمَ أَلَّا يُنْجِيَهُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الصِّدْقُ. That you should know that when an intelligent person has his knowledge is sound knowledge, and his certainty is established and confirmed and firm, then he knows, he should know that nothing will save him with his Lord except his honesty. So we have to be honest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We enter into a covenant with Allah, we have to be truthful. We take we claim that we're trying to reach Allah, we have to be truthful in what we allege. فَسَعَى فِي طَلَبِهِ. And then he... So he says, فَسَعَى فِي طَلَبِهِ. And then he strives in his request for Allah. He makes effort. So we don't just sit back, I want Allah, I want to really know Allah, I want to be saved, I want the Jannah, and then don't do anything. So he strives towards the fulfillment of that which he is seeking. وَبَعْثَ عَنْ أَخْلَاقِ وَبَحَثَ عَنْ أَخْلَاقِ أَهْلِهِ رَغْبَةً فِي أَنْ يَحْيَى قَبْلَ مَمَاتِهِ. And he searches for the character of the people of Allah, longing to be revived or brought to life before his death. So there are many people who are literally living dead. As the poet said, one of the Arab poets said, لَيْسَ مَنْ مَاتَ فَاسْتَرَاحَ بِالْمَيْتِ إِنَّمَا الْمَيْتُ مَيْتُ الْإِحْيَاء إِنَّمَا الْمَيْتُ مَنْ يَعِيشَ كَئِيبًا كَاسِفَ بَالُهُ قَلِيلَ الرَّجَاءِ. That the dead person isn't the one who physically passed away and then comes to rest. Rather, the dead person are the dead from amongst the living. Rather, the dead people are those people who live with their aspirations shattered, totally depressed and defeated with little hope. Those are the dead people. So we want to live before we die. So how do we live? By having a strong yearning for Allah and having our hearts brought to life and to be receptive to the message of Islam. And if we attain this before our death, we have hope for paradise. لِيَسْتَعِدَّ لِدَارِ الْخُلُودِ بَعْدَ وَفَاتِهِ. In order that he can prepare to enter the abode of permanence after his death, the abode of Jannah. تَبَعَ نَفْسَهُ وَمَالَهُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ حَيْثُ سَمِعَهُ يَقُولُ. And then he purchases his soul, he sells his soul and he sells his wealth to his Lord who already owns them. And again, this concept just emphasizes the generosity of Allah Ta'ala. He allows us to sell to him something he already owns and then pays us for it. You know, subhanAllah. So he says anyway, he sells his soul and he sells his wealth to his Lord in the sense that he hears him saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. That Allah has purchased from the believers their souls and their wealth, and for that transaction they will have paradise. So how generous is Allah Ta'ala? فَعَلِمَ بَعْدَ الْجَهْلِ. So then when he makes this transaction and he orients himself sincerely towards Allah and he tries to find the akhlaq, the character of the people of Allah, he says, then فَعَلِمَ بَعْدَ الْجَهْلِ. Then he knows after his ignorance. He knows he was living in darkness and ignorance. Now he knows the reality of things. وَاسْتَغْنَى بَعْدَ الْفَقَرِ. And he's enriched after being impoverished. وَأَنِثَ بَعْدِ الْوَحْشَةِ. And he has sociability and intimacy after being estranged and alienated. وَقَرُبَ بَعْدِ الْبُعْدِ. And he is drawn near after being distant. وَاسْتَرَاحَ بَعْدِ التَّعْبِ. And he finds rest and relaxation after fatigue and tiredness. So these are all the benefits that this quest brings to the human being. فَأْتَلَفَ أَمْرُهُ. And then all of his affairs becomes integrated. He was torn in a million directions here and there. Now all of his affairs are integrated into one concern, the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاجْتَمَعَ هَمُّهُ. And all of his concerns have been united. فَشِعَارُهُ التَّقَى. And his slogan then becomes trustworthiness. وَحَالُهُ الْمُرَاقَبَةِ. And his state becomes a state of constant awareness that Allah Ta'ala is observing him. So this checks his action. Just like, think if we're aware of an esteemed elder in our family always looking at everything we do. We never lie, we never watch something illicit on television. We just change the channel real fast. Grandma's right there. Oh, no, you don't. Grandma is just looking for the news. So that's grandma. What about if we're aware of Allah? So grandma can't put us in Jahannam. Grandma can't put us in Jannah. But we have, if we're aware of that she's right there watching us, it checks us. So what about if we're aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can put us in Jannah, who can put us in Jahannam? who's the only one that can reward us for our deeds, the only one that can forgive our sins. What happens when we're aware that Allah Ta'ala is watching over us? How much would this check our actions? So the person who has attained to this state, their life, their state is one of awareness that Allah Ta'ala is watching over. أَلَا تَرَى لِقَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَبْدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَى. That you worship Allah as if you see Him, and if you don't see Him, know verily that He sees you. يَحْسَبُهُ الْجَاهِلُ فَمِّيًا أَيًّا. He says that the ignorant person considers him to be a deaf mute. وَالْحِكْمَتُهُ وَحِكْمَتُهُ أَصْمَتَتْهُ. And it's his wisdom that has silenced him. So his wisdom and the insights that he's gained, these have caused him to be silent, to the extent that the ignorant person who doesn't know his state considers him to be a deaf mute. وَيَحْسَبُهُ الْأَحْمَقُ مِهْذَارًا. وَالنَّصِيحَةُ لِلَّهِ أَنْتَقَتْهُ. That the stupid person considers him to be a blabbermouth. He's always talking and is giving sincere advice for the sake of Allah that has caused him to speak. In other words, this person is with Allah. As they say, كُنْ مَعَ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُبَانِ. Be with Allah and don't worry about it. If the situation requires us to be silent, we're silent. If the situation requires us to speak, we speak. If the situation places us in poverty, we're happy and content. If the situation gives us wealth and riches, we give the right that's owed to that of zakat and sadaqah and helping Islam, and we're content. So we're with Allah no matter what the external situation dictates. This is the point he's trying to make. ويحسبه غنيا وتعفف أغناه. And the one who's uninformed about his state considers him to be rich, and it's his self-sufficiency and his refusal to ask people that has enriched him. ويحسبه فقيرا وتواضع أدناه. And the one uninformed about his state considers him to be impoverished, but it's his intentionally humbling himself that has given him such a lowly appearance. So this is the way to be. لا يتعرض لما لا يعنيه. He doesn't expose himself to becoming wrapped up in those things that don't concern him. His concern is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not what this one did and what that one did and who bought this and who owns that and who drives this and who sold that and who lives in this and who lives in that. His concern is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he doesn't allow himself to be wrapped up in things that don't concern him. وَلَا يَتَكَلِّفُ فَوْقَ مَا يَكْفِيهِ. And he doesn't burden himself with trying to get more than what suffices him. Enough to eat, enough to live on, enough to live a dignified life, that's sufficient. So he doesn't burden himself with trying to get more and trying to get more. And حَاسِمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. That they're deceived by the mutual piling up of the things of this world until they visit the graves, and then the reality comes. I wasted time piling up material things when I should have been piling up thawab to send forward for myself in my grave. So what's sufficient, that's enough, and then he gets on with his true work. وَلَا يَأْخُذُ مَا لَيْسَ بِمُحْتَاجٍ إِلَيْهِ. And he doesn't take that which he has no need for. He leaves that which he has no need for. وَلَا يَدْعُ مَا وُكِّلَ بِحِفْظِهِ. And he doesn't leave that which he's been entrusted to preserve or to guard. So he's diligent in maintaining the trust that's deposited in him at all levels. النَّاسُ مِنْهُ فِي رَاحَةٍ. People are comfortable with him. So they find a person that's not threatening to them, because he doesn't want what they have. As they say, إِذْ هَتْ فِي الدُّنْيَا يُحِبُّكَ اللَّهُ وَزْهَدْ بِمَنْ أَثِيمَ عِنْدَ النَّاسِ يُحِبُّكَ النَّاسِ. Turn away from the world, Allah will love you. Turn away from that which the people possess, and the people will love you. So because he's not trying to outmaneuver them and take what they have and is jealous and envious of them, they find rest and relaxation with him. وَهُوَ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ تَعَبْ. And but with himself, he's worn out because he's very strict and demanding of himself, and he holds himself to a high standard. قَدْ أَمَاتَ بِالْوَرَعِ حِرْصَهُ. His craving for material things and to fulfill his appetites has been killed by his fear that even involving himself in some permissible things will lead him to impermissible things. So this wara, this scrupulousness in deen, has killed his desire for things because he's extra strict and extra careful that what he takes might lead him to something forbidden. As they say, what is one definition of al-wara, this concept al-wara, that is to leave off those things which are permissible, fearing that they might lead to those things which are impermissible. So this is one definition of that concept. وَحَثَمَا بِالتُّقَى طَعْمَهُ. And his piety has cut off his craving for things. وَأَفْنَى بِنُورِ الْعِلْمِ شَهَوَاتِهِ. And the light of knowledge has extinguished his carnal desires. So he's a master of his appetites. And what has given him mastery? The light of knowledge. As we said in the verse, Imam Shafi said, فَأَخْبَرْنِي إِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ. He informed me that knowledge is a light. فَهَكَذَا تَكُنْ. Thus should you be. And this is how we should be. These descriptions, these are all states that we should strive for. وَلِمِثْلِ هَؤُلَاءِ فَصْحَبْ. And these are the sort of people you should keep the companionship of. وَلِأَثَارِهِمْ فَتْبَعْ. And their footsteps are the footsteps that you should follow. وَبِأَخْلَاقِهِمْ فَتَأَدَّبْ. And with their character, imitate or take as your standard of conduct, or as your training, if you will. فَهَؤُلَاءِ الْكَنْزُ الْمَأْمُونَ. These people are a spiritual treasure. These people are a spiritual treasure. بَائِعُهُمْ بِالدُّنْيَا مَغْبُونَ. The one who sells them out for the sake of this world has entered into they've cheated themselves. Okay, they say they've cheated themselves. So the one that neglects these people because they're too busy chasing after the dunya, they've cheated themselves. So you don't pass up these people. When you find them, you hold on to them, and you adhere to them, and you try to keep their company, and you try to learn from them. وَهُمُ الْعُدَّةُ فِي الْبَلَاءِ. They're a source of provision during the times of trial and tribulation. وَالثِّقَاتُ فِي الْأَخِلَاءِ. And they are the trustworthy ones from amongst your companions. فَنِفْتَقَرْتَ أَغْنُوكَ. If you are impoverished in any way, literally or figuratively, they enrich you. They'll give you from their money that's vital for their upkeep to meet your needs and to pull you out of poverty. And they'll give you from their spiritual richness to enrich you if you're impoverished spiritually. They'll give you from their knowledge to teach you and give you what Allah has given them of knowledge to enrich you in terms of your knowledge. So and they're a source of enrichment for one. وَإِن دَعَوْا رَبَّ لَمْ يَنْسَوْكَ. When they pray to Allah, they don't forget to include you in their prayers. So many times say, brother, sister, pray for me. Don't forget me in your prayers. These are the people that don't forget you. Because most of the people we forget. Brother, memory in your prayers. Okay, alhamdulillah. And that's the end of it. But these people there, what's your name, brother? Ahmed. Okay, and then when they pray, oh, Ya Allah, please make it easy for Ahmed. Please give him relief in his situation. Give him a way out. They remember you when they pray to Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says about them, أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ حِزْبُ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That these are the party of Allah. And verily the party of Allah, they are successful. وَعْلَمْ وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ I think there's a letter missing here. وَعْلَمْ وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ you should know, may Allah give harmony and rest to your heart. وَنَارَ بِالْعِلْمِ صَدْرَكَ. And may Allah illuminate with knowledge your breast, and also a reference to the heart. وَجَمَعَ بِالْيَقِينِ هَمَّكَ. And may Allah, on the basis of your absolute certainty, gather all of your concerns into one concern, the meeting of Allah Ta'ala. And so what makes this happen? Your certainty that you're going to meet Him. Sometimes we behave as if we're not sure. But if we're absolutely certain that we're going to meet Allah, we're going to stand before Allah, we're going to be judged for our deeds, we're going to be recompensed for our good, etc., then this makes our only concern preparing for that meeting. أني وجدت كل بلاء داخل على القلب ضرورة من نتائج الفضول. And he says that I found that every trial that enters upon the heart, and this is of absolute incumbency, there's no escaping this, it's a consequence of excessiveness. It's a consequence of excessiveness. And most of the trials and tribulations that the people have in this society is because of excess. Excessive use of the eyes to take in things and messages that are spiritually defeating. Excessive use of the ears. Music was once associated with festivals and times of celebration. So at Eid we have music, the dufuf, and celebration. At the time of victories, after great battles, we had dances and festivals, weddings and gatherings. So it had a special significance. Now it's become so trivialized and so exploited. So our ears are constantly taking it in. And all of the negative messages that it entails, that is no longer something that's uplifting. Now it's an addiction, and most addictions aren't pleasant, but they're things we can't escape. So a person starts using drugs, it's pleasant at first. In their estimation, they feel good, but after it becomes an addiction, there's no more pleasure. There's only pain, but it's pain that they can't escape from. And this is the consequence of excess. Too much eating. At first is good. Oh, this is delicious. And then when all that deliciousness translates into 200, 300 pounds and we can barely move, we can barely breathe, it's no longer pleasure. Now it's pain. But we can't escape because we're addicted. And we're overly obsessed. And every time our elbow bends, our mouth flies open. It becomes a reflex. وَأَصْلُ ذَلِكَ الدُّخُولُ فِي الدُّنْيَا بِالْجَهْلِ. And he says the source of that is entering into the dunya on the basis of ignorance. So we want to go out there on the basis of knowledge. وَنِسْيَانُ الْمَعَادِ بَعْدَ الْعِلْمِ. And then if we have ignorance, we forget the promise after we have obtained to knowledge. We forget the return, ma'ad, after attaining, not mi'ad. Mi'ad is the promise. Ma'ad is the return. So, and we forget the return after knowledge. So we gain knowledge, but then we forget. This knowledge is to be used to prepare us for our return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah, and unto Him we are all returning. وَالنَّجَاةُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ تَرْكُ كُلِّ مَجْهُولٍ فِي الْوَرَعِ. And he says the salvation from that is to leave off everything we don't know the ruling concerning it, out of being careful and scrupulous in our deen. So to leave off everything, we only act if we know the hukam in something. If we know this is halal, we do it. If we know it's haram, we avoid it. If we don't know the hukam, we leave it, fearing that it's something that even if it's not haram, it might lead us to the haram. وَأَخْذُ كُلِّ مَعْلُومٍ فِي الْيَقِينِ. And everything that we know the ruling concerning, then we act on it with certainty and conviction. So we know this is halal, we go for it. This is haram, we leave it. We don't hesitate, we don't waver, we leave it. So this is yaqeen, we have certainty that we're doing the right thing. وَوَجَدْتُ فَسَادَ الْقَلْبِ فَسَادَ الدِّينِ. And I found that the corruption of the heart is the corruption of one's deen. أَلَا تَرَى لِقُولِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الصحيح حديث. أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضَغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Is there not in the body an organ? If it is sound, the entire body is sound. And if it is corrupt, the entire body is corrupt. Is it not the heart? They say the heart is the commander of the limbs. So if the orders emanating from the heart are corrupt, what the limbs do will be corrupt. وَمَعْنَ الْجَسَدْ هَاهُنَا الدِّينِ لِأَنَّ بِالدِّينِ صَلَاحَ الْجَوَارِحِ أو صَلَاحَ الْجَوَارِحِ وَفَسَادَهَا. He says, and in this instance, and this is a ta'wil interpretation that he makes, the body is one's deen, because it is through the deen that the soundness and utility of the limbs or their corruption is to be found. And there's an element of truth in what he's saying, because the deen only brings good to us. As we said, we mentioned the maqasid of the sharia last night. And one of the maqasid is that, or the greater principles that the deen is established upon, they call jalb al-masalih, or bringing benefit. So the deen only brings benefit. So if we adhere to our deen, this will inform what we eat, what we drink, how we live, our standards of cleanliness, etc. And all of these things will bring benefit to the body. So in this aspect, there's an element of truth to what Imam al-Muhasibi says. And then he says, وَأَصْلُ فَسَادِ الْقَلْبِ تَرْقُ الْمُحَاسَبَةِ لِلنَّفْسِ. And he said the source of all of the corruption of the heart, first he mentioned corruption of deen. And he says the source of corruption of the heart is to leave off taking oneself to account. Because then the things that are darkening over our heart are allowed to grow and to expand until the light is no longer there. Why? Because we never stop to look and consider what we're doing and the consequences of what we're doing. وَاخْتَرَارُ بِطُولِ الْأَمَلِ. And being deceived by thinking we have a long time to live, so we have time to get our act together. This is deception. So this allows us to take it easy, relax, put off what we should be doing, not undertake our obligations as we should be. Well, I'll do it. I'll get it together. I'll get it together. And then we're old, and then we're out of this dunya, and we never got it together. So this is a great deception. فَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ صَلَاحَ قَلْبِكَ فَقِفْ مَعَ الْإِرَادَةِ. He says, so if you want to, وَإِنَّ الْخَوَاتِرِ. So, فَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ صَلَاحَ قَلْبِكَ فَقِفْ مَعَ الْإِرَادَةِ وَإِنَّ الْخَوَاتِرِ فَخُذْ مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ وَدَعْ مَا كَانَ لِغَيْرِهِ. So he said, if you want or desire to have your heart in order, then stop at the limits. Stop when you know or you have an indication as to what Allah Ta'ala desires for you. And stop at the beginning, cut off every temptation at its origin. As we mentioned earlier, before it becomes a craving, stop it. And how do we stop it? With the remembrance of Allah. وَخُبْ مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ. And take those things which you take for the sake of Allah. وَدَعَ مَا كَانَ لِغَيْرِهِ. And leave those things that you're doing for others. So everything that's for Allah, do it. Everything that's for other than Allah, leave it. وَاسْتَعِنْ عَلَى قِسَرِ الْأَمَلِ بِدَوَامِ ذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ. And he says, help yourself. Take assistance in cutting short your hopes for a long life and a long time to get it together by constantly remembering death. By constantly remembering death. And we mentioned this earlier. This is something that helps us, death, to be a reality for us. Think about our death. Think about how imminent our death is. As one of the poets said, صَاحِي شَمِّرْ وَلَا تَزَى ذَاكَرَ الْمَوْتِ فَنِسْيَانُهُ ضَلَالٌ مُبِينٌ. Says, oh my companion, صَاحِي صَاحِبْ, yani get down to business and keep remembering death. Keep remembering death. Keep reminding yourself about your death, because forgetting it is clear straying, is clear error. فَنِسْيَانُهُ ضَلَالٌ مُبِينٌ. So we should always remember our death, and this checks us. We know, wow, this can happen right now. And we don't just not think about it, so it's not a reality in our life. So I have time. When it's a reality, I don't have time. And then everything we get is a blessing. وَوَجَدْتُ أُصُولَ الْفُضُولِ الْمُتَحَرِّكَةَ مِنَ الْقَلْبِ تَظْهَرُ على السمع والبصر واللسان والغذاء واللباس. He said, and I found that the sources of excess, the things which affect our heart, they manifest themselves in the hearing, the seeing, the tongue, the things that we nourish ourselves with, and one's clothing. وفضول السمع يخرج إلى السهو والغفلة. He says the excessiveness of the ear or the listening, this pushes us to heedlessness and to forgetfulness and heedfulness. And these are the dangers of music. They were caught up in the beat and caught up in the rhythm, and we start forgetting things. Forget our responsibilities, forget our, become heedless of the dangers and the things that we're doing. And the messages that are given, they've had devastating impact. Because the shayateen that are orchestrating this madness, they know this. So a person is listening to, constantly to me and Mrs. Jones, he wants to have an affair. This is impressed in his mind and his heart. You know, we got a thing going on. And the next thing you know, he has something going on with Mrs. Jones. Because he comes heedless to his responsibility to his wife, his family, his children, and he's swept away by this message. And this is one of the big dangers of music. It leads, as he says, it leads to forgetfulness and heedlessness. وَفَضُولُ الْبَصَرِ The excessiveness of the eye يُخْرِجُ إِلَى الْغَفْلَةِ وَالْحَيْرَةِ Excessiveness of the sight leads to heedlessness and confusion. And all of these images confuse us. And that's the result of the music videos, that all these images flashing before our eyes, 60 different images in a split second, in the average music video. And these are bombarding our senses with conflicting messages, and we're totally confused. We don't know right from wrong, day from night, up from down. We're just totally out of it. وفضول اللسان يخرج إلى التزيد والبدع. And he says the excessiveness of the tongue, it leads to being excessive, and it leads to innovation. Because where does the innovation manifest itself? First and foremost, in what we say. So we start saying things that are Islamically unacceptable. وَفُضُولُ الْغِذَاءِ يُخْرِجُ إِلَى الشَّرَهِ وَالرَّغْبَةِ An excessive nutrition leads to lust and desires. Because all of this energy that's being generated needs an outlet. And so that outlet is sought in things that we lust for, in a release for the excessive impulses of our carnal appetites. So excessive eating leads to lustfulness and longing for things, increased appetites. وَفُضُولُ اللِّبَاسِ يُخْرِجُ إِلَى الْمُبَاهَاتِ وَالْخُيَلَاتِ And excessive clothing leads to trying to put down other people and consider them beneath us, and it leads to arrogance. So these are the consequences of excessiveness in our dress. And we see this, for example, when the traditional royal weddings, like when Princess Di got married, the train of her gown is outside of the church when she's standing on the altar. And so this is showing that she's big and royal and above the peons. So this is excessiveness, literally excessiveness in dress. You don't need, you could have chopped that dress up and outfitted a whole platoon of women. So this is literal excess. And what does it lead to? Arrogance and putting yourself above other people. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ حِفْظَ الْجَوَارِحِ فَرِيضًا You should know that preserving your limbs, your body, is an obligation. وَتَرْكَ الْفُضُولِ فَضِيلًا And leaving off excessiveness is a virtue. وَالتَّوْبَةُ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ فَرِيضًا And to repent and put repentance before all of that is an obligation. وَقَدْ فَرَضَهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ فَقَالَ جَلَّ ذِكْرُهُ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا And Allah has made this incumbent upon us as His messenger. And Allah Ta'ala says, may His memory be elevated. He says, O ye who believe, turn to Allah in a sincere repentance. And He says, Ma'na nasuha. What does this nasuha mean that we translated sincere? Repentance, He says, Tarkul awdi fima taba minhu. مِنْهُ الْعَبْدُ إِلَى رَبِّهِ He said is to never go back to what you've repented to your Lord from. The servant never going back to what? This is sincere repentance. Never going back to what the servant has repented to his Lord from. وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ And the Messenger of Allah, he says, but this hadith is a forced hadith that Imam Hasibi uses, wallahu alam, and there are many sahih hadith. So we relate a sahih hadith in its place concerning Tawbah. Ya ayyuha an-nas tubu ila Allah fa inni atubu ilayhi fil yawmi 100 marra. The Rawahu Muslim. Sahih Muslim, Imam Muslim relates, O people, turn to Allah in repentance, for verily I turn to Him in repentance every day 100 times. And that's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, وَلَا تَسْحُ التَّوْبَةُ إِلَّا بِأَرْبَعَةِ أَشْيَاءِ. He says that repentance is only accepted if it's accompanied by four things. حَلُّ إِسْرَارُ الْقَلْبِ عَنِ الْمُعَوَّدَةِ. That we fix in our hearts and are serious and determined that we won't return to what we repented from. وَلَاسْتَغْفَارُ بِالنَّدَمِ. And that we seek Allah's forgiveness with remorse. وَرَدُّ التَّبِعَاتِ وَالْمَظَالَمِ. And we return those things that we've usurped, or the rights that we've taken from other people, or we seek their forgiveness for the things we've oppressed them in. وَحِبُّ الْجَوَارِحِ وَحِبُّ الْجَوَارِحِ مِنَ الْحَوَاثِ السَّبْعَ. And then we protect our limbs from the seven, protect our limbs from the negative consequences that might come through our seven senses. And these seven senses are as-sam'u, the hearing, wal-basar, the sight, wal-lisan, the tongue, wal-sham, smell, wal-yadani, the two hands or touch, وَالرِّجْنَانِ, the two feet, or conveying ourselves, conveyance, وَالْقَلْبِ, the heart, وَهُوَ أَمِيرُهَا, as we mentioned earlier, and the heart, which is the amir, or the commander of all of these things. وَبِهِ صَلَاحُ الْجَسَدِ وَفَسَادُهُ. وَبِهِ صَلَاحُ الْجَسَدِ وَفَسَادُهُ. And with the heart lies the rectification of the body or its corruption. وَقَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ جَارِحَةٍ أَمْرًا وَنَهْيًا فَرِيضَةً مِنْهُ. And Allah Ta'ala has made for every limb, all of these seven, Allah Ta'ala has made a command, and He's made a prohibition, and these things are incumbent upon that particular limb. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنُهُمَا سَاعَةً وَإِبَاحَةً تَرْكُهَا فَضِيلَةٌ لِلْعَبْدِ. And so He's made a command, and He's made a prohibition. So He's made a halal, and He's made a haram. And He's made an open space of permissibility concerning all of these limbs, that leaving off engaging in the permissibility is a virtue for the servant. So then he lists these things. He says, وَفَرْضُ الْقَلْبِ, the obligation for the heart, بعد الإيمان والتوبة, after faith and tawbah. The first action of the heart is faith, iman, and the second action is tawbah. And some people reverse the order. The ayah in Quran, لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي. There's no compulsion in religion. Truth clearly distinguishes itself from error. فمن يكفر بالطاغوت. So the one who rejects and repents from the false god, and then وَيُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى, and then believes in Allah, he has grasped a firm handhold that will never break. So he mentions these are the first two obligations of the heart, al-iman and tawbah. After that, the obligation is إِخْلَاصُ الْعَمَلِ لِلَّهِ, to be absolutely sincere in doing everything you do for Allah Ta'ala. To have ikhlas in your actions that they're only for Allah. وَاعْتَقَادُ حُسْنَ الظَّنِّ عِنْدَ الشُّبْهَةِ. And to have a good opinion concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're confronted with doubtful things, that Allah ta'ala isn't going to lead you astray through these things. Wallahu a'lam. وَالثِّقَةُ بِاللَّهِ. And the another obligation of the heart is to trust in Allah. وَالْخَوْفُ مِنْ عَذَابِهِ. And to have fear of His punishment. وَالرَّجَاءُ لِفَضْلِهِ. And to entertain hope that you will receive and be given from the bounties and the blessings of Allah. وَقَدْ رُوِيَ فِي مَعْنَ الْقَلْبِ أَخْبَارٌ كَثِيرًا. And many things have been related concerning the exact meaning of what the heart actually is. From amongst them, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالْ إِنَّ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَنْ يَلِينُ لَهُ قَلْبِي. He says that from amongst the believers there are those that my heart is soft towards. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام, and he also says, إن الحق يأتي وعليه نور فعليكم بسرائر القلوب. He says that, صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the truth comes and it's accompanied by light. Therefore, it's incumbent upon you to try to understand the secrets of the heart. And these things, he's saying, صلى الله عليه وسلم, from his standing with Allah, and I don't know the exact interpretation of these. Allahu A'lam. And even Sheikh Abdul Fattah, he says that he doesn't comment on this, so he doesn't shed any insight. But he says he hasn't found this hadith in any of the sources that are at his disposal, so he's not sure if this particular hadith is affirmed or not. But we can't say it's fabricated, because that would be making a hukum or ruling based on ignorance. And as we mentioned last night, we have to do ijtihad to establish our rulings. وَقَالَ ابْنُ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Ibn Mas'ud, he says, لِلْقُلُوبِ شَهْوَةٌ وَأَقْبَالٌ. That the heart has times of energetic vigor which facilitate us doing something, and other and longing, vigor and longing that facilitate us doing something. وَفَتْرَةٌ وَإِدْبَارٌ. And other times of fatigue and laxity that discourage us from doing things. فَاغْتَنِمُوهَا عِنْدَ شَهْوَتِهَا وَأَقْبَالِهَا. Take advantage of those periods when your heart is pushing you to do something. So sometimes you'll wake up in the middle of the night and you're not sleepy and you're totally invigorated. That this is a time when your heart is open and is inclining you to engage in spiritual work. So you should make wudu and pray, read Quran, take advantage of those times. وَذَرُوهَا عِنْدَ فَتُرَتِهَا فَتُرَتِهَا وَإِدْبَارِهَا. And other times you have to literally force yourself to do something, to even read one more half page from Quran. At that time you should leave off what you're doing, because this is a time that your heart is heavy and fatigued and is not facilitating you engaging in that act. So this, in these times, you should leave that act. وَقَالَ ابْنُ الْمُبَارِكِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. Ibn al-Mubarak, one of the great scholars and great zuhad, great otherworldly people from the early generations, and he has a book called Kitab al-Zuhud. Similarly, Imam Ahmed. Some people imply that zuhud is not a part of Islam, because this hadith, ازهد في الدنيا يحبك الله وازهد فيما عند الناس يحبك الناس. This hadith is questionable, and some people say it's a fabricated hadith. It has been traced back to Ibrahim al-Adham, amongst others, but it hasn't been authenticated as being said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So based on this, some people they won't even mention zuhud as being a legitimate Islamic principle. I haven't seen this, but I heard one author who's commented or written a commentary on the 40 hadith doesn't even comment on this hadith, even though Ibn Rajab comments on it extensively. But zuhud, or otherworldliness, detaching our hearts from this world, is a critical and vital Islamic concept. And amongst the evidences for that is the fact of, look at some of the luminaries of this ummah who have written compilations called the Book of Zuhud, or the Book of Otherworldliness. So we have Imam Ahmed, he has Kitab al-Zuhud. We have Imam Ibn Mubarak. And all of these are luminaries from the muhaddithin and the ulama and mujtahideen from amongst the salaf. Imam Ahmed, Kitab al-Zuhud. Imam Ibn Mubarak, Kitab al-Zuhud. Imam al-Bayhaqi, Kitab al-Zuhud al-Akbar, the great book of otherworldliness. Imam al-Qurtubi has a book, Kitab al-Zuhud. Hassan al-Basri, there's a book attributed to him that's called Kitab al-Zuhud. So, and there are many others. So when you find all of these top-level scholars in the history of the Ummah writing about something, you can be rest assured that this is a legitimate Islamic concept. Otherwise, they wouldn't be writing about it and compiling books about it. So Imam Ibn al-Mubarak, may Allah have mercy on him, he says, Al-qalbu mithlu al-mir'a. He says that the heart is like a mirror. إِذَا طَالَتْ فِي الْيَدِ صَدِئَتْ. He said, if it remains stagnant in your hand for an extended period of time, it rusts over. كَدَّاب وَكَدَّابَ. And it's like a beast. إِذَا غُفِلَ عَنْهَا عَدَلَتْ. If you leave it unattended, it goes astray. So we have to, in other words, we have to tend to our heart, and we have to keep our hearts alive with dhikr. We can't let our hearts be still because they rust over. So we have to polish our hearts with dhikr and Quran and qiyam al-layl and fasting and being in the company of righteous people. And this, all of this affects our hearts and keeps our hearts moving and alive and vibrant. And it's like a beast. If we neglect it, it goes astray. So we can't neglect it. We have to constantly keep our hearts busy. Keep our hearts busy with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ بَعْضُ الْحُكَمَاءِ. One of the wise people, he says, الْقَلْبُ مِثْلُ بَيْتٍ لَهُ سِتَّةُ أَبْوَابٍ ثُمَّ قِيلَ لَكَ. He says that the heart is like a house which has six doors. And then it's said to you, احذر ألا يدخل عليك من أحد الأبواب شيء. He says, be careful that nothing enters upon your heart from any of these six doors. So guard those doors. Guard those doors to make sure that nothing enters upon your heart. So inshallah we'll stop here, and tomorrow morning inshallah we'll continue. And we'll pick up with this thought where he says, one of the wise men says that the heart is like a house that has six doors. Therefore, guard these doors to make sure that nothing enters upon the heart through them. So we'll pick up here, idhnillah ta'ala. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook our faults and shortcomings, and to make what we convey beneficial and as accurate as possible. And to let us reflect on these words and on the one who has stated them, and that we take something of the spirit that he's put into this work, and that Allah teaches us that which benefits us and benefits us through that which he teaches us, and that he increases us in knowledge and in acceptable works. We seek, we glorify him and praise him, and we ask his for, we bear witness there is no God but him, we turn to him and repent. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'na wa anfa'na bima alimtana wa zidna ilman wa amalan mutaqabbilan khalisan li wajhika al-kareem. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته.